tonight. Pam and I wanted to share just a little bit about roles as they are spelled out in Scripture. Kind of biblically, the roles of a husband and biblically the roles of a wife. And so this is a really interesting topic. And as Pam and I thought, like, I don't know that we've ever talked about this kind of publicly. So in 10 years that I've been on staff, I always just let an elder take it. I was like, I don't want this one. I don't know if I viewed it as a hot potato that I didn't want to touch, but I haven't. And so I was kind of excited to talk about that tonight. And I thought also, these verses are always really interesting because there's kind of two groups of people in Christianity that talk about them. One is the group that really will try to explain away everything that the Bible says about roles. And so they'll say, well, I know it says that, but it doesn't really mean it. Like it's like sleight of hand, like magic tricks, you know, look over here. And that's how they talk about like submission and leadership and headship and things like that. And so that's not the answer. And there's churches here in our town that like if you mention those passages, you can't do a wedding in their church if you mention those passages. It's crazy. Right? You can't read certain portions of the Bible and marry somebody. Okay, so there's that camp. Then there's the other camp that is like really, really eager to talk about headship and submission and leadership. And it's really funny. It's like they get really charged about it. And you get the impression, it's like, dude, you know, like he makes his wife wear a long dress. And anytime they go anywhere, he kind of grabs her by the hair and throws her in the back of the pickup truck, you know, and just kind of that's kind of that camp there. And those people scare me. Right. And so. These people over here scare me. Those people scare me. And so, but we still need to talk about those passages of Scripture. We do believe that 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay, for righteousness. And so if it's in the Bible and it says something about relationships, we need to study it and we need to pay attention to it. Okay, so the thought tonight is that we'll just share for a few minutes about these. This is could easily be a really great 2-hour, 3-hour Bible study. We've got 20 minutes. Okay, so we're going to fly quick. And also, I was just telling Pam a minute ago, I've heard these passages talked about in ways that really just kind of beat people up, you know, where everybody just kind of keeps slumping down in their chair more and more, like, I'm not that, I'm not doing that, I'm horrible at that. And that's not the intent at all. Okay, we want to hold out God's ideal and talk about what it would look like for us to kind of move towards that. Okay, not trying to beat anybody up. And if you get mad, though, okay, I just ask that you check your heart and go, okay, is my issue with these guys or is it with Scripture? Okay, and so if it is, if your issue is with God, then let's talk about that. Okay, make sure that's the energies of your heart. Okay, so anything to add to that? Great. So we want to talk. The first thing we want to do is just talk about. Pam had a great way to break this down. She said, "Let's talk about the two major roles that are laid out for Scripture, both for men and women, and then we'll talk about the ways those are acted upon." So, do you want to start with the women?
Yeah. And so, a woman's role in Scripture, really clearly from the beginning, is just that she is a helper. So in Genesis 2:18, it says, "The Lord said, 'It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable.'" So as a wife, my role is to be a helper. So don't start thinking, you know, the help's coming out. A lot of women are reading that book. It's not that picture of the help. It's not a servant, do this, do this. But it's really a term of value and honor in Scripture. When you look at Psalm 54:4, God is our helper. In many other places in the Scripture, God is referred to as our helper. In John, Jesus is telling the disciples, "I'm going to send a helper." He's talking about the Holy Spirit, who's a member of the Trinity. So God, Holy Spirit, Christ is referred to as our helper. It's a term of value. And so that is our role, women. It's to be a helper, but it's an esteemed, valuable term. And a great phrase to think about this is just that we are completer. That's kind of another way to explain that. So even in man's glorious state in the garden, God's looking at Adam, and he still sees this man needs a helper. He needs to be completed. And that's what we do as wives. And so another way to look at that, a great phrase that stuck with me, Jeannie Cox says this, is we as women are to complete our husbands, not compete with them. And so the next chapter, Genesis 3, when man sins, man and woman sin, and the curse, and one of woman's curses is that her desire will be for her husband. Not a sexual desire there, it's a desire for kind of his leadership role. And so in my flesh, I don't want to submit, I don't want to complete him, I want to do my own thing. And so just to be thinking about completing our husband and not competing for our husband's role is kind of our role as a woman.
Yeah, that's good. So we were talking at leaders meeting tonight. We were just kind of bragging about our wives, and one of the wives, one of the guys said, you know, my wife, he didn't use that word, but basically like completed me this week, and just talked about how she had loved him enough to point some stuff out in his life, and wasn't going to let him just get by with that, you know. And he said, man, she had to ride the bull this week, you know, and she had to keep coming and bringing this stuff up, and that's part of completing. Is it saying, hey, we're not going to condone there's sin, we're not going to condone it, and we want to complete it. That doesn't mean we nip it at his heels every chance we get. All right, let the little stuff go. It's the glory of a man to overlook an offense. Okay, there's just some stuff just to let it go. But if it's hurting him, it's hurting others, or it's hurting, it's causing people to not understand who God is, then it's time to say something. Okay, and that's part of completing. And then just the gloriousness of being a helper, which is really a general term. It's not a specific. It doesn't mean the woman who does the dishes or you know, changes diapers, does groceries, all that kind of stuff. It's not that, but someone who is just kind of helping both the man and the family. And so this week, I was getting ready to kind of do a small retreat with my my oldest son, and Pam knows me well, so we're leaving on Friday, which means I'll work hard all through Thursday. I'll tuck the kids in at night, and then I will start going, oh, I need some stuff, right? I need some stuff for my retreat. And she just said, hey, I want you to know I've got everything you need, dude. You worry about the big stuff. I've got all the details, got it covered. And I was like, man, thank you for helping me. Just uniquely ways women, I think, that we can help our husbands and also complete them. That's part of their roles, okay? So guys, the big one for you is to be a leader, okay? The big role for men in Scripture is to be a leader. And so in Ephesians 5:23, it says that the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the church. And so I've seen people try to do really creative things with that word, and it means leader. Right? It's used about 100 and something times in Scripture. It's a word pronounced kaphale in Greek, and it means to have authority or to be a leader. Okay, that's what it means. Now we'll go on to talk about specifically what that looks like, what that leadership looks like, and Jesus, really interesting. Jesus, every time when he talked about leadership, he would say it's the Gentiles, it's the pagans who don't know God. They use their leadership to lord it over. Not so with you. Right, and he says, Christ said that his example in Mark 10:45 was that he came to not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Okay, so when Christ talks about leadership, it's totally different than the way that we think about it generally in the world, but it does mean leader. Okay, and so husbands, our job is to lead our families, and so generally there's kind of two ditches that guys go into. One is the real domineering. As the domineering husband, okay? We kind of know what that looks like. It's raising our voice. Generally, men are bigger than their wives, and so it can be just kind of posturing, you know, and having them stand down because of your physical presence. It can be kind of threats or kind of, you know, kind of subverting the security of the relationship, okay? And that is a kind of a domineering leadership style, okay, which some of us kind of suffer from. And that's not biblically kind of what we're talking about. The other one, and I think this is probably even more common that I know most guys do, is kind of a passive leadership style. Okay, and that means rather than having hard conversations, rather than making the tough call, we just kind of revert back into neutral and let things just kind of unwind however they will, or let the wife kind of take care of that. So it's really interesting in Scripture. We think about the Pam mentioned the fall, and we talk about Adam and Eve, right? And so we always kind of roll this thing up around Eve's neck, right? And it's like, man, this whole world would be better if it wasn't for this crazy woman, you know, with an addiction to fruit. We would have been just fine, okay? And so, and that's the way the story gets told. You know, Eve, she was kind of easily deceived, listened to the serpent, all that kind of stuff. It's really interesting when you go back and read the account. And Adam was right there with her. He's right next to her, right? Because she turns and gives him a bite, right? I mean, she didn't run a mile and go tell him, hey, look what I found. She turns and just goes right here. And so what happened in that moment, most likely, is that Adam knows the right thing, right? And so while he wasn't willfully carrying out the action, he stood by and let it happen. And he didn't lead his family, therefore, you know, all of humanity has suffered the price since. And what's really interesting is that in Romans 5, Paul says that sin came through one man. Sin came into the world through one man. And you go, wait a minute, it was Eve. It was Eve. She's the one who took the bite. And yet God holds Adam accountable. The whole reason sin came into the world is with one man, because of his passivity. And that really is, I think that's, guys, that is something that we all struggle with. And so whenever something hard comes towards us, we're sons of Adam, right? We are sons of Adam, and we want to shrink back and just go, ugh, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to deal with those kids, the tough financial situation. I'm not going to deal with it, right? Or I'm not going to stop anything that should be stopped. And that's passivity, and it's not really the way that God would have us lead. Okay, so leadership, a great definition of leadership is initiating for the benefit of others. Okay, initiating for the benefit of others. And I think if I could boil leadership down into one word, it would just be to initiate. To initiate. And a lot of times we think about this big, you know, massive term will get thrown around in marriages called spiritual leadership. And so generally the image that conjures up is, you know, that a husband would come home and his kids, you know, greet him with some holier than thou, a greeting and, well, welcome, Father. We're so glad that you're home. And he sits down, he has this big Bible, and he teaches them, you know, at dinner time. And then at night, his wife grabs a cup of herbal tea and sits and just at his feet to be amazed at all his knowledge of the scripture, right? That's kind of the way, as the caricature, but that's some of the ways that we think about spiritual leadership. And I don't know that that's the case. But I do think it means to initiate. And so one of our friends on staff, this is so funny, 10 years ago I come up to this church, which is, you know, it wasn't even a church, it was just an idea of what a church might be someday. I come up to the office, and there's a gal named Sarah who is a receptionist there. And I said, hey, I'm here to meet, I don't even know who I was supposed to be here to meet with. And she says, one second, she runs back, and I look at her computer screen, and underneath her computer she's memorizing some scripture, which, you know, all good church receptionists should do, except that hers was in Greek. She was memorizing portions of the scripture in the original languages in Greek. And I just thought, oh my gosh, what kind of church is that? That the receptionist knows Greek and, like, reads, you know, doesn't read the English Bible. She reads the Greek Bible. This place is unbelievable. You know, I tease people like she's one of the only ones on staff that knows Greek, you know, now that I found out the real truth. But so she marries a guy named Paul. And Paul was a brand new believer. And I just thought, well, this will be interesting, right? Here you've got a wife who can open her Greek Bible and read it and tell him what the words mean and parse it out, and she was going to get a PhD in church history. This guy was a pagan, you know, 4 months ago, right? And I thought, well, that will be interesting. And it really helped me. I really had to stop and think, well, what does spiritual leadership look like in there? Because Paul's not going to sit down and blow his wife away by how much he knows, right? It's just not going to happen. But Paul could initiate with Sarah and say, you know what? We need to pray. Or we do need to read and study the scriptures together. I'm okay if you know more than me, but my job is to make sure that it's happening, not to blow you away with all my knowledge, okay? I can initiate. And so I think that really is a really helpful kind of understanding. And just to know that I think for Paul, I wouldn't say that he's still responsible for his family. And part of leadership, guys, is that we are responsible for everything that goes on in our family. Stuff might not be our fault, right? If she, you know, had a Neiman Marcus addiction, you know, and ran up 50K, you know, every time she went, they greeted her by the first name, and now you're stuck with the bill. Okay, it wasn't your fault, but it now is your responsibility to deal with that. As a man, as the leader, okay, you got to initiate through all of that. And so, just to know, as a man, part of our leadership is that everything that happens in our families is our responsibility. Okay, we don't get to run around and bark and bark orders. It's to initiate and to be responsible. And one of the things, guys, I just want to encourage you, by being here with your bride, you're showing good leadership. Okay. But saying, I don't even know all the answers, because I forget knowing the questions or the answers to the questions. I don't even know the questions, but I'm here. I'm going to initiate. That's good leadership. And I wanted to make sure to encourage you guys that whatever else is going on, you're here with your wife and you're leading well. Okay, so that's one of the main role for men is leadership, as it is for women to be a helper.
Right. And so just a couple of the ways that women as we help and complete our husbands, just the actions that that takes. The first one is just to respect. And so in Ephesians 5:33, we are commanded to respect our husbands. Husbands, love your wives, but wives, respect and hold your husbands in high esteem. And so often, just as I know there are times that I am not lovable and John does not feel like loving me, but he is commanded to love me. It's a choice. There are times that it is hard to respect John, or I don't feel like respecting John, and it's the same thing. And we are commanded. It's a choice of the will of the Holy Spirit acting through us. And so, I hear oftentimes love is a choice. You hear that a lot. So is respect for us women. And so just that holding our husbands in high esteem is something we're commanded to do. And it can look different ways. One way is John's talking about just that huge kind of the burden and the weight of being a leader as the head of the household is being the leadership kind of burden. Honestly, it's just understanding that and just respecting that. And just as we are helpers and completers, just understanding that and appreciating their unique needs and the way God's wired them. And so just men in general, just kind of just the ways God's wired them, the needs that they have. And then also just our husbands specifically. So being a student of our husbands, knowing how John feels respected, what things I can say to him, the ways that I can help him, the ways that I can encourage him and build him up. And showing admiration for things is a big deal. We had some friends who were just coming out of a really tough time in their marriage, some separation, some infidelity, and we're just kind of rebuilding. And some friends encouraged her, hey, daily, write your husband a note, email him, call him, just with one thing you admire about him. And with her, it started with, I can't think of anything, but I like your shirt. I like the way you dress. It started there. And then as she responded to the Lord, as they trust was built and she continued just to yield to that and just to seek to truly love and respect her husband, it became more about his character. And so for us women, if it just means, I like your flip-flops today, or then it grows to, I love the way that you lead our family. I love the way that if I have a question about the word, that I can come ask you this. I love the way that you think and dream big, for our family. I love the way that you initiate with the kids. And so it just, as it goes into just character, just appreciating the things that he does, and real specifically, so just specific things, women, that we can do to respect our husbands is, like I said, just praising him specifically, either to him privately or in public, bragging about him, whether he's there or he's not, just letting others know that you think highly of your husband and some great things that he's done. This is big, women, not correcting him or demeaning him in public. I talk with newly married girls a lot and just really encourage them. This is one of the bigger things on this respect, is not correcting our husbands in public and just not kind of demeaning and putting them down. And so just being really careful about that. It might be subtle or it might be really out there. One thing, John and I have been married about three or four years, and he just said, babe, I've got to tell you something. It's just kind of under my skin, and I've got to let you know. And he would say something funny, and I would say, oh, what movie is that from? Oh, did Will Ferrell say that in this movie, or is this, or this? And he was like, can I not just be funny on my own? It does not always have to be from a movie or somebody else. And I did not realize I was doing that. Of course, yes, he's very funny. Y'all know that. He's really funny. I didn't realize that by giving somebody else the credit, that was just really kind of subtly disrespecting him. And we had the trust to just be able for him to say that to me, and of course I didn't want to disrespect him. So just being really careful about women, whether it's really blatant or just more subtle, just being careful kind of how we talk to him in public. And then just the biggest thing is just praying for him. It's really hard to just really hate someone that you're praying for really avidly, and that you're just really praying, Lord, show me some ways that I can appreciate him more than just that I like his shirt. Show me ways that I can show him I respect him. And so just that's the biggest thing. If that's all you can do right now, is just praying for your husband. That's a huge step toward respecting him.
That's good. And most women, it's really interesting to know that most men, when you ask them would they rather be loved or respected, almost all men will choose respect. Which you don't understand, that's fine, right? We don't understand it the other way exactly. And so it's just really helpful to know that when you don't feel loved and you're really dialed into what that feels like, it's the same thing for him when he feels that there's a lack of respect. And so that's some of that deep kind of pain and longing and hurt. He feels the same thing that you feel when you're not loved, okay? So really the outworking for the man, for his leadership, we got to speed up. I'm the one that's slowing us down. But the outworking of the man's leadership, the action behind that is love. All throughout Scripture, that is going to be the command for husbands, is to love his wife Okay? And so Pam quoted, respect comes out of Ephesians 5:33, and right before that, husbands love your wives, wives respect your husbands. Okay? Always that's going to be the outworking of the man's leadership. And so it'd be really great to go talk about all that love, but I think it's, and parse that out, but it's interesting that in Ephesians 5:25, Paul says that the way you're supposed to love your wife is the way Christ loved the church, and the fact that he gave his life up for her. Okay, we love donuts, we love football, we love all kinds of stuff, and it's love means nothing. And Paul says, hey, the love I'm talking about is a crazy, sacrificial, serving love to the point of death for your wife. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. Not being nice to her, right? Not writing her a note, sending her a card at anniversary. That's not love. I'm talking about something much more profound. And that's the outworking of this leadership, okay? So ways to love your wife is, she wants emotional intimacy. She wants to know what's going on with you, and she wants to be able to tell you what's going on with her. She wants to be cherished. She wants to know that you don't just appreciate the fact that she organizes the house, gets your dry clean, takes care of your kids. And then if you could choose anyone, if you could get married today again to anyone, that you would choose her. You would gladly and with great honor choose her. That's what she wants to know. She wants to know that she's cherished, okay? And she wants to feel really secure in the relationship, to know that, hey, that you're in, you're not thinking about anything else, and that if there's going to be tough issues here, that you're going to deal with them, right? There's security. She wants to feel the security in that relationship, okay? It's going to look different for all of us. 1 Peter 3:7 says that husbands are to live with their wives or love their wives in an understanding way. Kind of to live with your wife in an understanding way is different than to live with my wife. To know what encourages Pam is different than yours. To know what gives her life is to be something that's totally different than your wife. And to know what makes her tick is different. And yet, that's what I'm commanded to do. And so, like for Pam, one of our friends is out here and she hates movies. I won't look at her. Pam loves movies. And so last week we had a staycation. Dude, we watched more movies in 1 week. We saw a double feature at a drive-in, got home at 3:15, right? And I was completely zapped. And movies, I could take them or leave them. I knew that was a big deal to her, right? So so that was something I did. That would, to do that to another wife would be to absolutely kill her, right? There would be nothing worse that she could imagine doing than to sit through two movies at a drive-in out in Ennis, Texas, in 100-degree heat. That was love, okay? Make no mistake about it. So, guys, to ask, this is a great one, what can you do to lighten her load? You want to show her you love her, do something to lighten her load, right? When's the last time you did something that was difficult for her? And then, you want to know a really practical one? We call it the Matt Moss rule. There was a friend of ours, his name is Matt Moss, and his rule was he did not sit down at night until his wife did. That meant if there were dishes, clothes, lunches to be packed, that he didn't get to go in there, flip on ESPN while she worked, or yell at her for iced tea from the other room, right? And so you want to tangibly know how to lighten your load, even if you don't know what to do, just to follow. And I'll do that with him. I don't even know what to do. I'm not smart enough. But tell me, I'll help you out, and let me do that, okay? And that's a way tangibly to love her. So.
And so the next thing, just women, the other action word that we have as our as we are a helper and a completer is to submit to our husband. And so you that bristling with that word, but it is in Scripture. Ephesians 5:22, Colossians 3:18 both say, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And what that is in a marriage that God designed is yielding my rights, but freely yielding them. They're not demanded of me, but I just like I freely yield my rights to Christ, as John, as the God-given leader in our home, I yield my rights to him. And so I know you're sitting out there, probably some of y'all going, what in the world? Why would I yield my rights to him? Our experience cannot dictate our theology. This is what Christ says, and we can't get around that scripture. Even in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2, maybe you've got a husband who, why should I submit to him? He's not even a believer. But in 1 Peter, we're commanded to do that, and that because of this, some men come to Christ, because of the way their wives submit and complete them. But so what it's not, and so please hear this, what it's not is an inferiority, losing my identity, like we briefly talked about earlier, not condoning sin, following your husband blindly into sin, any kind of emotional, mental, physical abuse, just becoming a doormat, throwing in the back of the pickup truck. like John talked about. That is not the picture of a submissive wife in Scripture. When I look at Proverbs 31, I see this strong woman. I mean, she is all about her husband and her children, but she's the strong woman. She's taking care of her home. She's out trading, you know, making money, doing all these things. Her husband is sitting at the gates and calls her blessed. And says she does him good all the days of her life. And so that's not a doormat woman that's just, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's not the picture of submission. And so what submission is responding to my husband and his leadership in that role that God's put him in and just encouraging him to lead by my actions. And then like John said earlier, speaking truth. It's not condoning. It is, hey, babe, I see this about you. I respect you. I love you. But we both have this walk with the Lord, and I see this about you and just want to share this with you. And so, like John talked about, just having that relationship where you complete and you can drive each other to look more like Christ. And the way it looks with us, I think Todd uses this. There's big nose and little nose. And so, you know, there may be something we're facing, and, you know, we kind of talk through it. We pray through it. John can hear, you know, my side of it. He understands where I'm coming from, and maybe he still decides maybe something different than what I would choose. That's something little, maybe on littler things. Big things, a move, you know, where the kids are going to go to school, a job, something that you would is a big life change is definitely a big no. And so if I, before the Lord, do not feel good about it, we've talked about it to other people, we've prayed to other people, that's just something we've never had this. John's never pushed through. On that. He can't play this submission card and push through on that. And so just kind of getting, you know, talking about what are the big no's and kind of the little no's. It's again, it's not just this card. I'm the leader. We're going to push through on this.
Standing down. Yeah. So we've always said, hey, if it did come to that, right, we feel like, hey, as a family, we're supposed to do this. I feel like really passionate. This is yes. And for some reason, we're not on the same page and you feel passionately the other way. Would I ever play the submission card? Well, maybe, but it would be after I've taken this thing to community, right? And I've got like 10 people just going, Pam, you're crazy. I mean, this is clearly God's leading. And then I would go, okay, you know what? I'm just going to ask you to submit on that deal. But I just don't go, poof, you know, where you want to eat? I'd rather Mexican. Nope, submit, boom, Chinese. I mean, it is not that. It's not that. Okay, and so
Mexican always wins.
Like paper, rock, scissors. Submission. Yeah, that's great. So it's not you. Submission. That's what I meant to say. Submission is something that's granted, not that is demanded. The wife is to submit to her husband. The husband isn't charged to make his wife submit. And I think that's really is an important distinction, okay? And so Pam has said, hey, if it came to that and you had everyone lining up, I would submit to you, okay? But I don't think that somehow I'm more spiritual than Pam, right? That I go, man, I hear God better than you, so if I think we should do this, clearly I'm the smarter, more spiritual one. I'm pretty sure it's probably the other way around. And so I want other people kind of lining up with me. Okay, so that's just practically how that plays out. Never violate a big no. If she says, absolutely not. Little no's. It's my preference. I feel like you've heard me. Knock it out. Okay, that's how we plan that out. So we probably should land the plane, but
yeah,
do you have anything
real quick,
else?
Yeah, just the end. In Titus 2:5, just kind of the charge to women, just to lead younger women, to be kind, to, you know, to look over your household, take care of your children. And then finally it says, be subject to your husband so that no one will malign the word of truth. So just like the world is supposed to see a picture of Christ's love by the way a husband loved his wife, I'm just challenged that the world is supposed to see a picture of the way we yield to Christ by the way I submit to my husband. I don't want the world getting a wrong picture of how God ordained love and submission and all that by the way I interact with John. I want the world to see a correct picture of how we yield to Christ, and then by the way he loves me, of how Christ loves us.
Yeah, and so people on our block, they know that we're believers, right? There's a little pastor guy down there with all these crazy kids that are, you know, dinging their cars with our skateboards and all that kind of. They know who I am, what I do, right? And so if Pam were to be that kind of contentious woman, I think they would go, I don't know that much about Jesus, but if that's the way it rolls, I don't want any of that. And instead, I mean, I don't want to get too crazy here, but I mean, there's, you know, one of our neighbors just said, hey, what is it with you guys, man? She didn't ask me. She asked Pam. She said, what is it about your marriage? And so that is exactly what a woman, I think, the power of a woman who's rightly relating to her husband and honoring him, and a husband also, a husband who's leading his family and loving his wife, that God gets glory. That's John 13, 34, 35. Right? By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Okay, that kind of stuff can happen. So we wanted to talk about family. I think we should just land it there. And you guys, so the question is, like, what would it look like for you to grow in some of those areas? Okay, be encouraged. I you know, on the way home, just say, hey, we were talking about respect. We're talking about love. Way to go on this deal. I've noticed an uptick in this. Awesome. Okay. And then internally, what would it look like for us to be better leaders, better helpers? And then what would it look like for us to love and also both to submit and to respect? Okay.